Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
We were having this discussion on when I was here last, and Chaz insisted it was last year, and I said it was a year before. Do we need to take a congregational vote? I'm a bit intimidated, too. Looking over my shoulder here, is that Michael? We can call him a blockhead then? Yeah. Is he going to get a copy of this? He is now. Oh my goodness. Isn't it great to be alive in the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Today we're going to look at Christian identity. I fear that there is a bit of confusion in our culture today, and specifically in the church culture, on who we are, why we're here, why were we created, why are we saved, for what purpose? According to the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, in 2015, there were 15.9 million procedures performed in the U.S. Now, I'm not here to criticize those who have had cosmetic surgery, but the point of this is the president of the ASPS said, patients have more options than ever to achieve the look they desire. Isn't that interesting? You see, I believe that the tragedy in that statistic is the fact that there are a lot of people who are just dissatisfied. They have never become comfortable with who they are and who they've been created to be. And specifically, again, I would say we may have that issue within the church because we don't understand who we are in Christ. Brothers and sisters, I hope today that we come to a deeper understanding and get a grip on who we are. And I also want to caution us that as we go through this message this morning, this is in no way to boast about us. If we have any boast, as the Apostle Paul said, it is in the cross of Christ. And that alone, that alone. So why would God bother with the likes of me? Why would He love me? Why would He extend His grace and His mercy to someone like me? So I can escape hell? So I can go to heaven? The answer might surprise some, but He did that for His glory alone. Brothers and sisters, we are saved for the glory of God, and our life should reflect that very purpose. I'm going to be reading today from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21, and our scripture reading that has already been shared with us this morning captured verse 17, the very essence of our text this morning. But I would like and love to have you stand as we read the Word of God this morning. In honor of His precious Word, reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that your blessing would be upon the reading of your word, that it would penetrate our hearts, Father, to change us, to transform us, to cause us to love you more and to serve you more faithfully. For the glory of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please, please be seated and thank you. Isaac Watts captures much of our theme in one simple quote. He says, "Grant me on earth what seems thee best, till death and heaven reveal the rest." And Oswald Chambers tells us, "Never forget who you are, what you have been, and what you may be by the grace of God." Our flow this morning will be very simple, very straightforward. It is not an exhaustive list, but we'll be looking at seven areas of the transformation that takes place when you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The first thing is from verse 17, that verse center to our text. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." I introduced to you this morning this message to say we are new creations. We are new creations. And this is way more than a modification. This is way more than an upgrade. Folks, we have not been just overhauled. We have been transformed. We have been given new life. We have been given a new way of living. We have been given life itself. Remember, we were once dead in our sins and trespasses, but we have been made alive in Christ Jesus. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, "You were dead. You were dead in the sins and trespasses in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind, but God." Don't you love that? I love that when God just jumps right in the middle of it. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved." Somebody say amen. Amen. "And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Do you understand that all of us who are in Christ are not here? We're there. We have been seated positionally, we have been seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Experientially, we're on our way. As the great old preacher once said, we are in the process of becoming what we already are. We live in the already not yet. Isn't that great? That our position is in glory, seated with Christ. A new life, a new purpose in living, a new appetite. We now desire spiritual food. The world's menu no longer should satisfy us. It shouldn't draw us to that buffet. I remember the message that I heard on the day that I found myself standing in front of a small congregation at the First Christian Church in Auburn, Kansas. It was the first church service that I had attended since I had quit drinking. The first sermon I had heard sober. And the preacher was preaching on Colossians 3. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I don't remember a whole lot of that sermon, but I somehow found myself standing down front at the end of that message. It changed my life. And I am certainly, certainly nowhere near what I ought to be, but I know I am not what I used to be. That's the gospel, folks. To the glory of God and His glory alone, the transformation takes place at new birth. Not only are we new creations, we are members of the body of Christ. Did Paul writing again to the Corinth, church at Corinth? Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You see, this means that we're part of something greater than ourselves. We're part of a group. You know, I've had the opportunity to travel over a good part of this world. And I don't even know quite sure how many foreign lands I've been in, but I've been on 5 of the 7 continents. I know that. But everywhere I've been, I've met believers. I've met Christians from Mexico to Tanzania to Egypt to Jordan to Brazil, Haiti. Had a great talk with Chaz last night about years spent in Haiti. Brothers, we and sisters, we are part of a global movement called the Body of Christ. Something far bigger than ourselves. We are connected in a way that eliminates my agenda, my cause, and causes me to look at the whole body. How do my actions, my words affect those that I'm connected to? How does my witness bring honor to the whole? Paul again to the church in Corinth, he says, "You are not your own. You were bought with a price. I don't belong to me anymore." And that is the story of the church and the body of Christ. Not only are we part of the body of Christ, we're part of the bride of Christ. In Revelation 19, we get this picture of the wedding supper of the Lamb, and it says, "Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was granted to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.'" Paul takes this portrait, he takes this image, and he uses it as an analogy for the union between a husband and his wife. And he says this, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish." That's the bride of Christ. Brothers and sisters, friends, we got a few wrinkles now. Okay, there may be a couple of spots on the gown, but someday it's all going to be gone. Someday it's all going to be cleared and clean and beautiful and radiant. How many have ever been to a wedding or read the maybe an article after a wedding, and they spent paragraphs describing what the groom was wearing? He's just kind of a figurehead there at that point, you know. But in this analogy, the groom is magnificent, by the way. But it's really usually centers on a description of the bride. What was she wearing? What was she wearing? Well, you see, the bride is robed in the righteousness of Christ. The bride has put on the garment of praise. You see, when God looks at His children, as imperfect as we are right now, He looks at us through the blood of Christ. He looks at us through the cross of Christ. And He sees the perfections that will someday be real in our lives as we are presented to Him in glory. What a beautiful picture. This is not about getting dressed up for church, because we are the church. We are. This is an inward transformation with an outward manifestation. I want to tell you a quick story. I tend to be very, very conservative in my spending. Some people would say cheap, but frugal may be a better word for it. Unless it's guns and motorcycles. Yeah. I bought a toaster one time. And I shopped hard to get a bargain on a good toaster. And I figured $15 was good enough for a toaster. Just an arbitrary figure there. But I got that toaster home, and we used it for, I don't know, a month, 2 months. And one day I went to put it down, and it popped, and put it down, and it popped. And silly thing wouldn't stay down anymore. I said, well, that's it. I'm never going to buy another cheap toaster. So I went out, and I bought me a pretty one. It had a nice, white, beautiful cover on it, big, you know. And oh, man, it was nice. It had a dial on there. You could change the way you wanted your bread toasted and everything. About 2 months later, it quit. Well, now I'm really upset. So I take this thing apart to see what's wrong. And do you know what I found when I took all them plastic, nice, pretty covers and dials off of it? The same toaster that I'd thrown away about 3 months before. On the inside, there wasn't a bit of difference. I'd invested in Purdy. Brothers and sisters, we don't want to invest in Purdy. Because in Christ, we share in His glory and His magnificence. Not to be compared with Him, not to be compared with Him. But He has transformed us through the washing of His blood. We have been changed from the inside out. We are also citizens of a new kingdom. Paul writes, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we're just traveling through this place called earth. This is a foreign land to us. You know, we shouldn't even be that comfortable here. Now, we know we have a purpose. We know we have a reason for being, to change the world in which we live, to bear witness to the glory of Christ, to the saving grace of Christ, and all of those things critical to our life as we sojourn through this land. But we should never find ourselves comfortable in this world. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Great old gospel song. But we are to be ambassadors, representing our new citizenship. The embassy in which we serve out of is the church. Our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the author has signed it in His blood. Brothers, I came, sisters, I came today. I hope, I pray God will somehow anoint this message that we may understand who we are in Christ, that it may be an encouragement to you, because I don't know whether you watch much news, but things aren't good. They're not good. And that should never depress us or discourage us. It should encourage us. It should inspire us. What a mission field. What a mission field. Well, number five, we are members of God's household. Ephesians 2:19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We have been given new life. We've been given a new way of living. We've been given a new citizenship, and we've been given a new place to live. And you know what? I'm going to get to this later. But we haven't done anything to earn this yet. We understand that, right? As part of the household of God, who's in charge now? Not me. Not me. Folks, I thought I was in charge for a lot of years. I tried to be in charge for a lot of years. And to quote Dr. Phil, you know, somebody should have asked, how's that working for you? It didn't work very well. Not well at all. I am not talking about perfectionism here, but positional sanctification. God keeps a clean house. And we ought to be living to that standard, folks, under the power of the Holy Spirit, under the anointing of God. We have been sanctified in Christ, washed with the blood of Christ, robed with the righteousness of Christ. Welcome to your new home. I heard someone say the other day that they were such a terrible housekeeper, people wiped their feet on the way out. Sorry, you know, I have these little burps that just kind of pop into my head. We are members of God's household. We are heirs of a new inheritance. Praise be to Jesus. Romans 8 says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. This is an amazing text. It covers much of what we've already discussed. We are part of God's household because we are God's children. This happened through something called adoption. Now, I don't know if any of you in here were adopted or have adopted children, but Connie and I just completed the adoption of our three of our grandchildren. Of course, following the death of our daughter, she left five children, and we now are raising the three youngest. We got twins that are seven and a little boy that is five. Hello. When the twins are learning to drive, I will be 74 years old. You think that's funny? I'm scared to death. You know, folks, it would never have been in my retirement plans. Most of us make plans for those twilight years. But I'm going to tell you, we will carry on by the grace of God. God has seen fit in His infinite grace, in His infinite mercy, in His infinite wisdom to grant us the privilege of raising three more kids. We never know what life's going to bring us. We must remember who we are in this life. Sometimes that's the only way we survive. We're heirs of a new inheritance. Part of a household. This also confirms our future dwelling. We are co-heirs with Christ. We will surely be with Him. But listen, an inheritance usually is only received when the person dies. And of course, we have that in Christ who died. Yes, not only died, but was buried, and not only died and buried, but is risen and now lives to intercede on behalf of His people. And He has made sure through that living Christ that we will receive the inheritance that He has granted to us. If we are children, then heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Brothers and sisters, life is not going to be a smooth journey. There's going to be bumps. There's going to be hiccups along the way. Some of them will be quite tragic for many. There's sorrow, there's grief, there's tears, there's mourning, there's pain. There's all of these things that sin has wrought on all of humanity. But my hope is not in this world, because it's passing away. There will be trials and trouble. Jesus, by His own word, says, you will have many troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Well, let's get to the final point. We've looked at quite a list of the transformation, not exhaustive, I certainly confess. But our seventh point is, we are not yet who we shall be. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. Glory to God. There should be a yearning in the heart of every believer to be home with Jesus. To be home. There should be a yearning in the life of every believer to live a life now that's pleasing to Him. Ultimately, the life that we have now in Christ has been given to us for the glory of Christ. I mentioned in the introduction that it would not be an exhaustive list, just seven simple preaching points. But allow me to run very quickly through three areas that I can promise you the Word of God has given us. I am accepted. Listen, there's a yearning within our culture, a yearning within humanity in general to be accepted. Well, I want you to know that in Christ we are accepted by God. I am God's child. I am Christ's friend. I have been justified. I am united with the Lord. I am one spirit with Him. I have been bought with a price. I belong to God. I am a member of Christ's body. I am a saint. I have been adopted as God's child. I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. I am complete in Christ. Number two, I am secure. I am free from condemnation. I am assured that all things work together for good. I am free from the condemning charges against me. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am confident of the good work that God has begun in me. He will perfect it. I am a citizen in heaven. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. I can find grace and mercy to help me in time of need. I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. Number three, I am significant. Now again, do not take pride in this. We are not to take pride in this. This is all because of Christ. But I am, and this I should have defined that as I have a purpose. I am the salt and light of the earth. I am the branch of the true vine. I am the channel of His life. I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. I am a personal witness of Christ. I am God's temple. I am a minister of reconciliation for God. I am God's co-worker. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. I am God's workmanship. I may approach God with freedom and confidence, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's not because of anything we have done, but because of what Christ has done for us and in us. A very wise and old preacher said, the only thing that we contribute to salvation is the sin that made it necessary. This is all about Christ. All about what He has done, the work that He has completed. And brothers and sisters, it's so important as we come to our conclusion here that we understand apart from Christ, you are never really going to know why you're here. And I'm not talking about why you're here, but why you even exist. You know, mankind has had yearnings in certain areas all of his life, and they cannot be denied, they cannot be dismissed. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And what happens when I die? No one can escape that. It's built into us. Where did I come from? Why am I here? What's my purpose for being? And what happens when I die? Well, I tell you, if you believe that your origin was some primeval slime, and you crawled out of a pit somewhere and evolved into what we are, that's not a very good beginning. But if you believe you were created by a loving and caring and magnificent God, you already have purpose. And if you believe you're here for the glory of God, if you believe you are here for a purpose greater than ourselves, if you believe that, then you have purpose. And if you put your faith in the finished work of Christ, you know exactly what's going to happen when this life is over. So the answer is simple. Jesus. Jesus. We are the church, folks. We are the church, blood-bought, blood-sealed, blood-sanctified, and Holy Ghost-inspired and empowered. And we live in a world that really needs to see that. So don't leave here today being proud of who you are, but lifting high the name of Jesus, who caused us to be what we are.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.